Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore, bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Tuesday morning edition as we continue our lesson in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we subtitled this, Recognizing the Holy Spirit. So when we say recognizing the Holy Spirit, that means you're to recognize someone means to have spent time with them, to have understand, you know, you understand their ways, you understand things they will say, things that they will do. And so the Holy Spirit is, we already have discovered that he would not speak of himself, but he will only speak of that which he hears. And so, and what he hears from the Father and he hears from the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning, Brother George. And so, so when we see and recognize that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, he will only speak of that which he hears. So, for more qualification of that, you say, well, how do I know when the Holy Spirit is speaking? Because he will always speak of what the Word of God represents, and especially the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit can speak to you and I from any aspect of the Bible, because it is he who was inspired. Men of old were inspired by the Holy Ghost to write everything that's in the Bible. Okay, now everything that's in the Bible don't belong to you, but a lot of these things were written so that we'll know what to do and know what not to do. So some of these things are written in the Word of God for our learning, meaning we don't have to go back and do the same thing that they did. We can learn not to do them if we are willing to follow that witness on the inside. So when we say recognizing the Holy Spirit, he's always going to be speaking to you and I in a manner that will help us to do what? To continue to move forward in the things of the kingdom. Are you understand what I'm saying? Or notice this, when you find yourself walking in unrighteousness or whatnot, he's going to remind you of your righteousness that are in Christ. In other words, your peace will be disturbed of recognizing that you're walking outside of a grace, walking outside of a covering. It's sort of like if it was raining. And, you know, it's been raining off and on for the last day or so. And so just think about without the umbrella, you know, you get wet. But when you have the umbrella on you, you don't feel the elements, the wetness from the rain, right? Well, that's the same thing. When you come from up under the cover of that umbrella, well, you're going to feel that rain. And it's going to cause you to, you know, want to run, or you're going to cause you to give expressions or whatnot, say, ooh, or whatever. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Well, when you're under that umbrella, well, guess what? You don't have the same way of acting. You know, you're comfortable. Why? Because even though it's raining outside, but the umbrella is providing a protection from the rain itself. So therefore, you don't have to run. Therefore, you don't have to be in a hurry. You are, because you have the same covering as though if it was not raining. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He is the same covering with you and I as long as we walk in the light and the truth of God's word. Guess what? There's no need to be anxious. There's no need to be weary. There's no need to be concerned. Why? Because you're walking in that covering. Under that covering is protection. That protection is everything that Christ have already paid and bought for with his own blood, his own life. But when we walk from up under it, then that's when the agitation, that's when the weariness takes place. We see all of these fluctuation takes place in your soul. And this is what we started, you know, in sharing with you, that if you're going to, it's not we not allowing the Holy Spirit to be God in our life. It's an unrenewed mind through traditions, through religion, through old fables or old beliefs of grandparents or whatever, people who have taught us things that whereas it may have some truth, but it's not the truth. It's something that will hold you hostage, that will keep you from moving in alignment so that the Holy Spirit can minister to you. So those are the things that you want to be aware of. So the Holy Spirit is there again. When you recognize him, recognizing him, meaning I know that voice. I know his characteristic. And so just as the illustration I gave you about the umbrella being under and not being under the covering of that umbrella, well, it's the same thing about the Holy Spirit. When you're from under the covering that the Holy Spirit provide, you begin to experience all the agitation, the weariness, the doubt, the unbelief. Why? Because we have moved ourselves away from that truth. But the moment we come back under the umbrella of God's word by the Holy Spirit, then guess what? Our peace is like still water. As the psalmist say, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to walk, God. He makes me to do what? To live, to walk by the still waters of life. So that still waters is that, hey, everything is like that we should say, it's an old term, everything is copacetic, meaning everything is A-okay. Why? Because we're in that secret place of the Most High. And when you're in that place, no foe, regardless of what the elements, regardless of what's going on, it cannot pull you out. It cannot reach in and pull you out. You have to absolutely on your own step outside from up under the umbrella of the Word of God to be attacked. And I don't think no one willfully wanting to do that. Now, occasionally that can happen. But again, even when we mess up in grace, God give us mercy. And so thank God that we are able to catch it. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. He will help you to recognize who you are and your right standing as a child of God so that you can pull yourself back in alignment with the light of the truth of whose you are. And he'll stay walking with you until you come back into that alignment. Amen. And this is the same, if I give one more illustration, like your car. You know, all of us have a front end, and sometimes it becomes unaligned, you know. The alignment comes out. And so that means sometimes the vehicle will want to pull right or pull left. Sometimes when you get to a certain speed, you know, maybe 55, 60 miles an hour, you find your wheel starting to shake or whatever because it's out of alignment. You know, the balance is it all. And so what do? You go into the shop, a tire shop. And what do? They take that tire off, put it, run it at a speed that they know that the balance is off. When they find that, they begin to put new balances so that when you do get up to that speed, you won't have that same shaking effect. Or if your car, your front end is out of alignment, they know how to deal with your tie rods or whatever to do it, to bring the wheel back in or out so that when you let the wheel go, it don't go all over the road. Well, I mean, in the natural, we get that. But this is what the Holy Spirit does. He's a guide. He's part of his attribute is guiding us. So when we get out of alignment, then guess what? He began to minister to us and letting us know this effect that's coming up on you. These things, you're out of the light of the truth of whom you embrace. Get back in there. Are you following what I'm saying? So the word of God has a way of keeping us. Now, yesterday, as we continue, and remember, we're dealing, letting you know that if the Holy Ghost is going to be able to bring forth great and mighty exploits in your life, the soul has to be to the place. When I say the soul, I'm talking about your mind, your will, your emotion, because that's the mental part of you. That's the part of you that directs the body. And it has to absorb from the other at the other side of you, which is your spirit. Your soul is in between your spirit and your body. And the body cannot experience what the spirit has to offer, the freedom, the wholeness, the soundness, that it already possessed, unless the soul itself is absorbent so that the truth can filter through it. It's like a filter. It's like having, you know, all of us got little water filters screened on your water faucet. And there are times that thing gets clogged up over time because of, you know, all the stuff that's in the water, the calcium or whatever. And that little filter, it's just a little bit of thing. It get caught and the water is barely coming out, or it's not coming out like it should. But once you unscrew on that faucet, that little cap, and you take that filter out and wash that out, and then you put that back on, then all of a sudden you got, boom. You see what I'm saying? What was that? There's a lot of deposit was... calcium got deposited and built up in there so that the water couldn't flow like it ought. Well, that's the same thing about your soul. Your soul has a lot of stuff that you have accumulated, and you continue to accumulate if you don't know how to cast down thoughts. If you don't know how to shut the door to certain things that you know it could be very detrimental to your soulish health, and to your physical health. It ain't not going to affect your spiritual being because it's sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But where you don't have that protection in your spirit, like your soul and your body should have, it's going to be dependent upon you to be the one to shut the door to the elements that can cause you to be weary, that can cause you to not walk in divine health, that causes you not to walk in the peace that God has already provided, are the fruits of the Spirit. Because those fruits are there. It's a matter of you and I learning to release. The soul have to absorb. It's like a filter. The peace of God, the victory of God, the joy of God, the patience of God. I'm just calling out the fruits of the Spirit. The love of God, it has to filter through your soul before your outer body and your surroundings will be able to experience that true grace that you and I, that God has provided for us. Because you see, if you don't allow these manifestations to filter through the soulish part of you, then you and I will continue to be, Lord, I need help. Lord, when are you going to change this for me? Lord, if you could just change this person. Lord, I need you to help me to do this. Or we say, well, God is going to do this for me. God is going to do that. And all of those things may be, you know, it may sound good, but I'm telling you, it's not biblical. Because he has already done it for you. He's looking to you. He's waiting for you. The earth is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to manifest, meaning to stand up and begin to correct what is wrong and bring it back in alignment to the truth of how God created it. You do that through words that created the heavens and the earth. You do it by the Spirit that brought forth everything there is that we enjoy today. So you see, the life-giving substance is in you. But that life-giving substance has to have a mouth. It has to have eyes. It has to have ears. It has to have hands. It has to have feet. So you get it now. It has to have a body to do what? To transport the Spirit that is within you so that that Spirit can now, the Spirit of life that's in you, can be released in someone's physical body, can be released, or the words of your mouth can release healing or deliverance to someone, you know, if that's how the Spirit of God is moving you at that moment. See, you're moving the Spirit of God because it's always with you. It's always in you. You're not waiting on God to see whether or not I need to lay hands on this person or I need to speak to this person or whatever. No. You move the Spirit of God. Because that he's already given to you. Watch this in John, and I know we're here in John 6, but look at John chapter 14. And, you know, we didn't finish John 14 last week, but notice this. John 14, and look at verse 13 and 14. I got down to verse 12 with you and noticed it. And I got down to the place it said, I assure you that most solemnly I tell you that if anyone steadfastly, and that's what we talked about, steadfastly do what? Believe. See, in me. See, if you steadfastly believe, that's why it's so important that you read the word, you study the word, you understand the word, the living word, the walking word of God. It's important that you pay attention. Because now when it's time to act in this life, very little do I have to say, Lord, do you want? No. His word is his will. His will is his word. And that's why Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father. And that's what you and I are here. We are continually in partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ, our elderly brother. We are here to continually do the will of our Father, but we can do it now globally because the Holy Spirit is in a global matter, in a global realm. So all over the world. And whether or not there's not anyone there, the Holy Spirit can move up on us and say, speak over the nation of Africa. Speak over the Eastern culture. Speak over Asia. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Speak over the Middle East. Why? Because those words, Asia, Africa, the Middle East, they all been created by God. You see, the Spirit of God is all over the world. But the Spirit of God needs a body. It needs a voice. It needs eyes. It needs ears. It needs hands. It needs feet. To do what? To demonstrate the love of God, the power of God. Oh my. If you could just really understand what I'm saying. I mean, think about it. You know, let's just say you had an appointment today to meet someone for lunch. Well, how did you come about doing that? You did it with what? Words. And most of the time, you weren't even in the same room when you made the appointment. You made it, let's say you did it through texting. Or let's say you communicated by phone. But you wasn't physically in the present. And even if you were, think about it. Words is what set the appointment for that lunch date. And when that date came and the time got close there, what do you? You made your way to that place of meeting so that y'all could have lunch. Well, what got the both of you there? We know the vehicle brought you in, but it was the word. The words were moving you. You got in the vehicle, and the vehicle was the transferring of power to get you where you needed to be on time. I'm telling you, that's what the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you and I. So when you understand that words got you there, using a vehicle or whatever means you had to get there, then guess what? It can do it globally. The problem is that the enemy, through tradition, through religion, through unbelief, has put us in a place of thinking that, you know, our words can go no further than whatever. Uh-uh. God created the heaven and the earth with words. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? He released what was in him. Now we have that Spirit of God that is, again, it's global. And this is why he said in John 14, 12, he said, I assure you that most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believe in me, Jesus saying this, he will himself, notice this, be able to do the things that I do. Wow. And he will do even greater than these because I go back to my Father. Why? Just for the reason that I just expressed to you earlier. The Holy Spirit is global. When Jesus was here, the Holy Spirit was not global. But thanks be unto God that Jesus said, if you, he said, I solemnly tell you, if anyone steadfastly believe in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do and even greater. Just think about that for a moment. You see, you will not even see yourself in that light from a physical perspective. And that's what happened. We judge ourselves. We hear something like that. Oh, the God can't be talking to me. Why? Because you're basing it from a physical perspective. You're basing it from maybe your past. You're basing it on something, mistakes you have made, things that was not right, wrong judgment, wrong call, things that wrong stance that you have taken in the physical, in the natural. And so you use all of those things to say, you know, I know the Lord can't be talking to me because, man, I constantly make a mess of things, you know, and we go on and on and on. Because see what you do, you're judging it from the physical, you're judging it from the natural. And notice this, thank you, Holy Spirit. The reason why you're judging from the natural, because that's how your soul sees it. Your soul got you in a place of thinking physical, thinking natural. So therefore, when you hear this word right here, he said, Jesus said, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believe in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. See, what we do, we disqualify ourselves by, again, using expression, well, that can't be talking to me. You know, I just messed up last night. I did it last week, or I did this and I did. See, we use all of those things. That's what stopped this word from filtering. This is what stopped the word from entering to the atmosphere, because you have judged yourself unworthily. And he has made you worthy through the new birth. You are born of God. It's not your spirit that's hindering or holding back the power. It's the guilt. It's the condemnation of that soulless man that wants you to feel incompetent. But there's a verse of scripture in 1 John 3:19-20 that if your heart condemn you, it said, know that he is greater than your heart. Why? Because it's the word of truth. You got to get past you. You got to recognize that we have what we call, you know, it's like having a natural clause in a contract, a covenant contract. That's all a contract is. It's a covenant. Well, in our covenant, spiritual covenant contract, in our clause that we have through the blood of Jesus, it's called repentance. You can repent. So for you to stay fogged, for you to stay foggy, or to continue to victimize yourself, or to place guilt upon yourself, not recognizing that I can plead the blood. When you plead the blood, you're not pleading for your spirit. Your spirit has already been ratified. It's sealed. It's empowered. Nothing can harm it. Nothing can tarnish it. So when I say I plead the blood, it's over my thought life. It's over the decision that I have probably made, or choices I've made. And when it come to this place, say, if you steadfastly believe in me, the thing that I do, you would do. So when a thought comes and say, well, you know, you don't qualify because you done this. You did that. It could be 10 years ago. It could be 5 years ago. It could be 6 minutes ago. And everything it can will do what? To try to disqualify you from doing what? From taking the stand as the righteousness of God. Like you did something to earn your right standing with God. No. 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 So what do you have to do? That clause that you have in your contract, when you know something that bring you to a place of guilt, bring you to a place of being condemned, you say, I plead the blood. Father, first of all, you recognize. What do you recognize? I recognize I missed it, right? When you recognize you missed it, it's not to condemn you. It's to let you know that, hey, I've already paid the price for that. Go ahead on and get that, you know, you go, what you do, you're getting that out, Lord, forgive me for that thinking in that way. Thank Lord, forgive me for allowing my past to beat me up or whatnot. And then once you do that, you cast that down, you repent about that. And what repentance means? I changed my mind. That's what repentance is. You are turning away from a thing, from a guilt, from a sin, whatever it may be. You're turning away from it, and you're taking the word of God that says right here, I assure you that most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believe in me, he will himself be able to do the thing that I do, and he will even do greater things than these because I go to my Father. You say, that's me. See what happened? You changed your mind. You repented about what had you held captive. You say, I repent of that. I let that go. I plead the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord. And then you begin to do it. You plant the word of God in that area where you begun, where you release that doubt, that fear, that unbelief, that sin. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Because if you're not careful, it wants to hold you hostage. And it is what caused you and I to not move forward. Your past is just what it is. But your past will be there to keep your future. See my hand covered over my face? That's what your past will do. It'll just keep you. It wants you to keep looking at it. That's all it wants you to see. And if all you can see is your past, then guess what? You can't see your future. Your future is so bright because it's in Christ, but you can't see it because the soulish part of you is constantly reminding you and holding you incarcerated in your thought, or continues ravishing you of where you've been, how you did this, what this had, what had, and etc. You cannot allow the enemy. Because that's what he is. He's an enemy to the faith of Christ. And remember, all God has is you and I. He don't have no perfect somebody that he can minister through. If anybody tell you they without sin in their life, you better get the running. You better get the running from them because there is no one on earth without sin. But you got to understand when we talk about the reason God can fellowship with you and I, because there's one third of us that is not with sin. The two thirds of us would be the soul and the body, the flesh itself. But when we're able to catch sin through the word of God, the more I am enlightened, the more I feed on the word, the more I listen to the word, then guess what? The more now my soul will be at a place of being convicted. Because why? It knows a different truth now. And when it knows that truth, it's just like, oh no, I ain't doing that no more. I'm not going down there no more. I'm not saying that no more. I'm not going to eat that no more. Whatever it may be. And then what do? You shut the door to that and you replace it with the truth that you embrace through this word. And you begin to practice it, and you begin to keep saying it, and you begin to keep standing on it, and you begin to keep thinking on it as you move forward in that day, in that hour, or whatever. And then all of a sudden, that thing become rooted on the inside of you. Now that's a new thought. Now that's a new way of thinking. And that's how we renew our mind, little by little by little. There are times we digress back. You know, we gain ground and we go. We gain ground and we... But you see, you are causing... The word itself is building a root system, but it's doing it through your vocal cords. It's doing it through your mouth. It's doing it through your belief that is in the truth of who you are. That's the reason for the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is your helper. He's the one that's helping you and guiding you, and he wants to do more through you, but there are times we won't allow him again because of stinky thinking. We keep allowing the thing of our past. We keep allowing where we've been to do what? It's constantly incarcerating us, and then it's robbing us of the victory that is already ours. This next verse, two verses right here, did Jesus say, and I will do myself, notice this, will grant whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and exalted through the Son. And notice this, yes, I will grant, I myself will do for you whatever you shall ask in my name, as presenting all that I am. Can you see that? You can't do that with a guilty conscience. You can't do that if your soul is constantly reminding you of your past or disqualifying you because of whatever. You see what verse 13, 14 says? And I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am. All that he is. So when you know all that he is, if you say, well, Lord, I got this weakness. Well, guess what? Present that. The Bible said, well, you're weak, he's strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. What does Ephesians 6:10 say? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, stop relying on your own inabilities, your own weakness, and begin to rely upon his word. That's what empowers you. That's what causes the word of God, the strength of God, the healing of God, the deliverance of God. You understand what I'm saying? The peace of God to get to your body so that all of your physical extremities can receive the strength. Because stress is a silent killer. And if you don't know how to release stress, I mean, we can do so much in the natural. You know, I love to work out with weights. I love to run. Well, you know, to some of you, it may be something else. But even at that, I can only exercise so much. I can only, you know, work out so much, run so much. But what will happen later on, that weight, you will increase the intensity of that stress because you're trying to use a physical mean of getting rid of a spiritual issue that you got going on. Me working out with weight is not mentally for my mentality, though it can affect, but it's more for my physical body. But if I'm going to relieve stress from my, you know, say my respiratory system or maybe my immune system and everything else, yes, there are certain things I need to eat, exercise, whatever. But it all starts in how one thinks. Proverbs 23:7 said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you look at the word heart, it's talking about the soulish part of you. This is where you make the decision based on the information that you have already had stored. When you hear me speaking of something new or speaking of something different of what you already have, remember. Now I have to close with this. Remember what Jesus said here. He said, I assure you that most solemnly I tell you that if anyone steadfastly, see the key to it is steadfastly. You have to be steadfast to the truth. That's why every day you spiritually awaken. Some of us call it devotion. Some of you call it study, whatever it may be. This lesson that I'm doing, it may be part of your devotion. You may be on your way to work. If you are at work, you got a lunch break, well, you don't have to put this back on Facebook. We have a podcast. At the end of this lesson, this podcast, this lesson that you're listening to will be uploaded to a podcast called Grace Online Institute Bible School. Grace Institute Online Bible School. So when this lesson is over, you could go to your podcast, whether it be through Apple, if you have an iPhone, then you have an Apple Podcast or Android. It doesn't make a difference. Spotify, Google, iHeartRadio, whatever podcast that's just about out there, we are on it. And Grace Institute Online Bible School, you can download that and you can listen to the word while you're walking, if that's your part of your devotion, whatever. What am I trying to do? I'm just saying this to you that where the word has to get in, you have to hear until it shatters unbelief, until it breaks the shackles of disbelief, fear, the thing that causes you to be tormented, the thing that wants to bring your past to a place of just stopping your movement. You have to choose. And this is why the enemy is so afraid of the believer. When you recognize the Holy Spirit that is at work in you, that's why Jesus said, it is he who is at work in us. And so because of that, and notice this again in verse 13 and 14, he said, and I will do, myself will grant you. Why? Because he's the word. He's the one that presented it all. He just became a man in the likeness of sinful flesh to do what? To bring back the beginning. The beginning is what? Genesis 1 and 2. That's where we live out of. So the purpose of your new birth and mine is to live out of Genesis 1 and 2. What is that? Calling those things that be not as though they were. So if something is happening in your city, if something is happening in your family, if something is happening in your community, and no need to call it on God. He said, what you going to do about it? It's on you. It's on me. Because the power and the authority has already been released through the believer. That's the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus came to establish. So the Spirit of God, as I close once again, the Spirit of God is global. Okay? But the Spirit of God, you know, it's like in any hospital ward, any institution, whether that be AIDS, whether that be, I don't care, whatever germ, whatever sickness, whatever disease, it doesn't make a difference. The Spirit of God is there to heal. The Spirit of God is there to deliver. But guess what? It needs a body. It can't do it by itself. You are the body. I'm the body. It needs eyes. It needs ears. It needs a mouth. It needs hand. Why? It's your hand. He will work through your hand. He will work through your mouth. He will work through your eyes, your ears, your feet. He's doing the work, but you and I are the one that's doing the initiate. We're doing the laying of the hand. We're speaking to it. This is what Jesus demonstrated in his earthly ministry. This is what the Apostle Paul, the disciples, even those of the old covenant, Elisha, them, they didn't have it in them. They could only function when the Spirit of God came up on them. See, they didn't live with it. You and I are living with it. You and I are living out of it. Are you understand what I'm saying? So, I have much more to say about this, but I'm going to stop right here. We're going to pick this up again in our online Bible school tomorrow morning, God willing. So I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning. All I ask you to do is that, hey, you have a friend, have a brother, sister in Christ, share this. Just share this with them and let them know. They don't have to listen to it on Facebook. If they desire to listen to it on Facebook, that's great. But also they can just go to our online Bible school with Grace Institute and download Grace Institute Online Bible School, and they can listen to this over and over and over until why? Until faith will come. See, faith comes when you hear the word. Those of you that listen to me right now, faith is coming. What is it doing? It's coming because why? You're hearing the word. And when you hear the word, faith comes with it. And then when you hear the word, then guess what? Now you have to act. Faith is an act. Amen. So I challenge you today. When you walk about in your community, or you're in a grocery store, when you see someone that need healing in their body, you don't wait for them. You carrying that healing anointing. You carry the Spirit of God. You stop them. You ask them, how you doing? Can I pray for you? You don't have to pray like most believers do. Just take authority. And I tell you, something released right there. When you do that, I'm telling you, that's when you're going to see the glory of God, and they're going to experience it, and then they're going to want everything you know, because why? They just saw themselves got healed, got whole, and didn't even know that it was possible. But you knew. They may not have faith, but guess what? You got enough faith for them and for yourself to do what? To lay hands on the sick, as the scriptures say. And what? They shall recover. Believers should do it. You the believer, you do it. And watch God do his part. Well, we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. We love you now. We'll do it again tomorrow, God willing. Bye-bye, everyone.